Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 23rd of November, recording at 9:07 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture, long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, a quick review, brief review of the week. Global stock markets were under pretty heavy selling pressure again this week, although they saw some respite in here today. Even the moribund banking shares showed a better performance today. And in government bonds, they've remained very steady overall, though we had a wee bit of profit taking today in the European instruments. And the US dollar, which had been in a range, plunged yesterday, and also in the Asian trading hours today, but it could not hold that sell-off. That's an interesting situation. And more on that later. And precious metals bottomed at the beginning of this week. Well, platinum had bottomed last week and has led the way back up. And more on that in a moment. Some oversold industrial metals also picked up in here today. Crude oil, very steady. It's been ranging this week in the upper, middle to upper 90s, currently 98.21. And the grain and bean complex firming. We'd had good follow through after its strength on Wednesday. It was closed yesterday, of course. And I think those are the main points overall, though the lean cattle look interesting. Owen's posted a chart on that. Okie doke. So what's going on here overall? Well, it's been a scarifying month in here for the most part. And I think that you look back a little bit when we were back in October, and so many stock markets were testing their highs in the West. A number of the Asians had pushed through, of course, to new all-time highs quite strongly. Fuller Money themes, a lot of Fuller Money themes hitting new time or new all-time highs rather, and getting fairly overextended in the short term in terms of their MAs, and so being vulnerable to some pullback and consolidation. But the selling that has hit a few of those instruments, but much more the Western stock markets, has been really quite sharp recently. Now, why was that? Since we had that big sigh of relief in second half of August, and then September and October, and why did markets pull back so sharply? Well, my feeling on this really is that while some volatility was always inevitable, we've known that conditions have become much more volatile this year, particularly since mid-year. But I feel that the central banks, and mainly the Fed, and also the Bank of England, have really fallen badly behind the curve of events. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because I've talked about it on a daily basis. And incidentally, Americans returning from their Thanksgiving holiday who are enthusiasts for all this analysis of these rapidly changing events might also be interested in tomorrow's, in yesterday's audio, and also comment of the day. So I won't repeat all those points. But behind the curve of events, and Bernanke having gotten off to a good start, really, in September, then that maybe I will, maybe I won't type of comment at a time when we were seeing some real meltdowns. I mean, when Freddie and Fannie Mae, those big mortgage lenders in the U.S., when they're getting into trouble, then really it's kind of screaming that there are problems here. And so they have been concerned about moral hazard points, I think rather unnecessarily, because a lot of shareholders in the gambling banks and along have certainly suffered, and a number of heads have rolled in all those departments. But revenge is not what this is about, or sending messages, not when you are seeing the economic data deteriorating, so that there's quite a high risk that not only a few maybe irresponsibly gunslinging investment bankers get thrown out of work, but that a whole lot of people, particularly a lot of poorer people, really are seeing their homes, their jobs, and so on jeopardized in here. The central bank needs to be moving. And this point on inflation here, the inflation pressures that we're seeing, other than from government services, and those of you who live in the UK will certainly know how government services have soared and cost so much council tax and all that sort of thing, transport, public transport. But what the other type of inflation, of course, that we have experienced coming from crude oil and coming from food prices, for the most part, that is not something that the central bank can control with monetary policy. Quite obviously, this is a global phenomenon, and they can squeeze all they want. That's not going to make any difference, and to those prices. So, what sort of inflation do they need to worry about? Well, if wages were taking off, which they most certainly aren't, they'd picked up a little bit, of course. But that is probably that's probably cooled right off. GDP growth is slowing. Consumer spending in the West, that's slowing quite markedly as well, although there'll be a few cheery retail headlines, no doubt, if only from the retailers to help get the help bring the crowds out. But my point is, again, that really, I think it's irresponsible for the central banks not to be addressing the weakening economic situation and to be fretting over inflation that that they and probably no one else can actually actually control in here. So I really feel that that's probably contributed to the sharper move that we've seen on the downside. But as I've said in previous audios, this has discounted an awful lot of bad news. And one of the points that I've emphasized, people have been talking about all the write-downs in banks and how shocking it is. And I talked yesterday about how the figure had sort of coalesced around $500 trillion or 500 million, which is a pretty staggering sum. But if that becomes a consensus view, then you know that it is mostly discounted. And in my opinion, it behooves the banks, I'm talking about now the commercial banks, the investment banks, they have every incentive to write down as much as they possibly can, to exaggerate, not only because of some of the new regulations that have come in, but this is a heaven-sent, if you're looking for a silver lining here, or a light at the end of the tunnel, to use those old adages, that it's a heaven-sent opportunity to throw out all the bad stuff, clean the closet, blame it all on the previous management, and then the new management teams can, a few months from now, write some of that back in and say, look how well we're actually doing, and we deserve a great big fat bonus in the process. And I think that's capitalism at work for you. I'm a committed capitalist, but the excesses do make one blanch from time to time. It's just that all the other systems don't work, do they? So even a dysfunctional capitalistic system is better than the rest. But I digress. I think that we're into the Christmas rally phase, and there are one heck of a lot of shorts out there. I mean, not least coming from the banks and hedge funds that have been knocked around a bit. And they have been playing with big shorts in the financial and property and retail sectors, and I think we're going to see some squeeze. I think that's already commenced. in here. And I think that there will be a lot of investors who will help to and want to contribute to a rally in here going into year end and pick up some additional gains that way. Now, the overall credit crisis problem is not entirely over. This is going to be smoldering for really a number of months now, but again, I think most well the worst of the damage is behind us. But there is still the central bank factor, and I take it as a given that we'll get both the BOE and the Fed cutting rates by 25 basis points early next month. I feel they should be cutting rates by 50 basis points. You know, I've said it over and over again, rates should be raised like an escalator and cut like an elevator, and because it's so important to in a downturn to really prevent just the economy from freezing up because everybody just literally sits on their hands. So if the central bank's behind the curve, it can be far worse for the economy, far worse for employment, and nobody really benefits from that. So stagflation, by being behind the curve, is certainly worse than the slow growth and some resources inflationary pressures coming mainly from crude oil and food prices. Now, of course, excuse me, I appreciate that there are a lot of listeners around the world who don't live anywhere near Europe or the USA and say, well, what about us? We've been doing pretty well, except we've caught some contagion recently. And we've seen that really right around the globe. But most of those markets, India being a classic example, Brazil another classic example, have come down far less than what we have seen in the West and are still sitting on very impressive gains for this year, and rightly so. They're the right sectors. Asian emerging markets, led by China and India. And Brazil, top of the tree as far as I'm concerned, and the big among the big resources producers. So these are hugely attractive areas. And if we get the Christmas rally in the weak Western markets, as I suspect, then I would think we'll see a number of new highs before the end of the year, or at least some pretty darn good rallies in those sectors. So I think that's pretty much a given, and I think it would be a racing certainty if we got at least a we got a bigger than 25 basis points cut from the central banks, but I wouldn't count on that. They've been dragging their heels a bit. Okay, so what can we expect going further forward? Well, my view overall is that this crisis has lengthened the actual cycle that we are seeing. My biggest fear overall was that we would get growth overheating quite significantly, and therefore we would get an ever-tightening squeeze from central banks to choke out not only resources inflation, which they would have very little influence on, as I've already said, but wages inflation that would follow that against the background of particularly strong synchronized global economic growth. Right now we have slowing, but still synchronized global economic growth. So that's taken off the heat in terms of the pressure, upward pressure on interest rates, and we're seeing rates reduced in a number of areas, all due to this credit crisis coming from the banks. Now, against that background, we will of course see lower corporate profits in a number of areas. We will see somewhat slower GDP growth, so that will slow up appreciation in terms of stock markets. So, in other words, it will slow additional stock market gains. It will lead to more ranging. So it lengthens the cycle, but it because the cycle has been slowed. So I think we can expect a choppy and possibly a refreshingly dull, should I say, period for a while. I think that the big volatility and drama and so on accompanying shock announcements from financial institutions, we will have cleared up most of that, if not by the end of this year, by the early part of the first quarter of next year. And then we might see markets settle down a bit and just be a wee bit dull, in which case the better themes will probably continue to outperform to better themes. I'm talking about the long-term fuller money themes. And they will be joined by some quite good opportunities, recovery opportunities in depressed banking shares, particularly where the problems of this securitized debt are much much smaller. And that will apply to a number of European banks, particularly in some of the southern European countries. And we will see, I think, quite a reasonable recovery in depressed property and building shares in Europe and and the USA overall. I think we'll see the technology theme, which is an interesting one, but it's been slowed or interrupted by the setbacks that we've seen recently. I suspect that that will continue. A lot of people were saying at the height of the panic, and I don't think panic is too strong a word. Just go back to earlier this week, that well, growth had it, and that the resources themes were over. And I saw some people saying that on television in here today. I don't buy that for a minute. As I said yesterday, and the markets gave me some proof to offer. If you just look at the stunning rebounds in shares such as Rio and Vedanta, both of course in my long-term investment portfolio, Rio, the much bigger position, it's been in there for much longer. So I think that what we can most assuredly count on is that the Asian growth story will continue to boom, that the global infrastructure story will remain very much intact, and if China slows from 12% plus GDP to 10%, or even dips temporarily to 8%, although that would have surprised me a little bit, that's no great problem, is it? And I'd much rather have that than 2% in the U.S. But in the U.S., in the U.K., continental Europe, that companies that earn most of their revenue from international developments, particularly selling into Asia, I think will continue to do extremely well. And in the United States, they also benefit considerably from the weak US dollar. Okay, enough on all that. What about government bonds? As stock markets firm, expect some selling pressure in the long-dated government bonds, but I think it'll probably be quite a few weeks, if not months, before we get really heavy or sustained selling in that fixed interest sector, because people will rightly realize that the sort of inflation, that the wages type of inflation that would really spook the bond market, and the prospect of global heating anytime soon, is just not on the cards. So I think bond market will be very relatively relaxed, but I maintain that we've seen about the best of the gains overall, and that we would, well, at this stage, I think that there's probably more to go for in terms of the next 12 months on the downside than on the upside, but bonds might just be dull and mess around for quite a while. The charts will tell us, of course, and bonds will be taking their cue from stock markets. This has been the case for really quite some time. Now, what about the US dollar? This really, really is interesting, and I've got a review that I'll be posting shortly after I complete this audio on the US dollar. Veteran subscribers will know we've been very much in the bear camp for quite some time. Shocking fundamentals behind the dollar, Fed printing money like mad, and when the Fed wasn't printing, which of course and of course it has been printing pretty heavily most of the time, and the North Koreans were printing or some other rogue regime, and so tons and tons of dollars in circulation. The Chinese holding too many. The Russians holding too much, Middle East holding too many dollars, the Japanese holding too many dollars, so hardly surprising they want to diversify somewhat from all that, as do lots of other people, right down to the cab driver stories in some cities saying that they wouldn't take dollars. And then you've had some of the, particularly some of the rogue oil producers. Chavez in Venezuela saying, well, that we really don't want dollars, we want oil price and something else. Now, these are little warning signs that the dollar weakness has gone too far. And if you look at the charts, you see that the dollar's trend had steepened. Its downward trend, of course, it had steepened. And so that's a form of acceleration. Currencies seldom move as fast as other markets, so acceleration looks a bit slow motion compared to commodities, which are almost invariably more thinly traded, or stock markets, where a small amount of money changing hands, or sorry, going in or out of the market can lead to an acceleration up or down, and where a short-term sentiment change can have a profound effect. Currency markets have huge turnover, so we're really talking about turning super tankers rather than much more nimble craft. And therefore, the trends tend to be more rangy and to roll on more slowly, but no doubt that there has been a steepening of the dollar's decline, and look at that in the charts that I'll be posting of the US dollar index. Or of course you can see any of these currency charts anytime in the library. Now, that acceleration is unsustainable beyond the short to medium term. It is an ending characteristic, so we will see some sort of steadier action at some point. And I've pointed out levels operating, wanting to operate as a technical naturalist. I've often described myself in that regard, observing the crowd, looking at the signs. But I see some climactic commentary. But then again, I'm also reminded that this trend is still intact. It has not shown any other ending signals other than an unsustainable acceleration, but it has just shown nothing to suggest yet that that acceleration is actually over. And of course, that acceleration can give way to a ranging period, another pause, and then continue on. So there are all kinds of ways that this can play out. But there are some levels on the charts that I have pointed out in Comment of the Day when I post it for today, that I think would be signals that yes, we were into a dollar medium-term rally. We certainly haven't seen those signals yet, but I have written about them. Enough said on that point. But if the dollar were to steady up, that would of course be significantly. If the dollar were to go into a medium-term technical rally, that would become a headwind for a lot of resources prices. It would not necessarily change the overall trends because they are driven by some pretty powerful fundamental factors overall. And so in other words, I would not be looking for a collapse in gold, but it would be a headwind for gold. Moving on to gold and the other precious metals, I mentioned at the beginning in my review that I felt we'd seen the lows early this week or last week in the case of platinum. The laggard here at the moment is palladium. You've heard that before. And I think, well, we would need to see gold, silver, platinum take out the lows that we've seen over the last couple of weeks to signal renewed vulnerability. And I wouldn't bet on that actually happening. But if the bulls are right and I'm in that camp, then we'll see platinum probably leading the way up into new high ground, followed by gold. Followed by either palladium or silver, one or the other in that order. And that's what I look for, really. And gold is pretty steady generally against most currencies, as you can also see in the charts. Crude oil prices, this has been a ranging rather than accelerating advance. It has steepened a bit. But not at a rate that appears unsustainable overall. And I don't think we're going to have enough global slowdown to make a heavy dent, in the demand for crude oil. And I don't think that OPEC or any other producer has a huge incentive to go hell for leather to increase production. Put yourself in their positions. You'd probably want to tease it out. Here, it's a seller's market, as they say. Let the bids come up to meet the supply. If you can get more money by operating that way, these producers have every incentive to do just that, except that they don't want to tip the global economy into a major recession, in which case the demand for oil really would fall. Although it'd have to be quite a recession. We didn't get a downturn in global consumption back in that 2000, 2001 recession. All we, or was it 2001, 2002? All we saw was just the rate of increase in global demand for oil slow somewhat. So I think that, again, it's only going to be if we get an absolute price spike that we'll get some of the swing producers, such as Saudi Arabia, trying to push out a lot of crude. But hopefully, we won't get a price spike in the crude. But meanwhile, the supply and elasticity meets rising demand remains very strong. I think I've already said that I feel that the bears of global growth taking will have been overly influenced by what they're seeing in the United States in particular. And we undoubtedly have some short positions in those industrial metal markets. And I think we're going to see some of those get squeezed in here. And certainly, if we get the year-end rally in stock markets that I anticipate, you've noticed the high level of, well, contagion when we've seen the selling pressure and the correlation on the upside. In other words, they're mostly all moving up together or mostly all coming off together. And I think that will continue in here for a while longer. Having seen quite a weak month for most of November, don't be surprised if we get a quite strong month for most of January. And I think I've probably gone on long enough. With this audio. So I will just say good night, have a great weekend, and all the best to all of you.